You're most welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to meet you once again tonight in this evening. I would like to thank the Almighty God for His mercy and His grace. He has enabled us to be in His presence once again. I would like to give all the glory unto God. As you're waiting for so many people to come and join us right now, please may you share the link and tell people that you really we are in the house. We have already started and we are going to be discussing several things, and we are going to look at different aspects of life, more especially as we are depending on our theme today, which is going to be My True Identity in Christ Jesus. And this is going to be amazing. Please, I beg you, may you call your friend and may you call your brother, your sister, everyone, someone that you know that really can really love this, or can join us and we learn together, we go through this together, and I believe you will like it. And I'm telling you, it's very, very awesome tonight. We are going to be looking at several things, and basically we are going to look at what is our true identity in Christ Jesus, because that's the major thing that we want to look at tonight, and we see how we are going to learn from one way or the other, But I would like to thank you so much, guys, for the moment, for the time that you've invested in to make sure that already you're here and we can discuss and talk about this together. May God bless you so much. Let me come back in Jesus' name.
A place for sin and shame.
is Joey Grace. He said that we, in only Christ Jesus, that's where hope is found. And this hope is found in only Christ Jesus. We'd like to thank God once again this evening for his mercy and his glory. He has enabled us to make it once again. And this is a very wonderful and wonderful night for us to be together and discussing about this. And I would like to encourage you, please, you can tell your friend, you can tell any person that is near you, and you can join in and we learn together by the grace of God. There is what. And we are going to be looking at different things. Of course, we are going to be reading from the book of Genesis, and we are going to interact with different biblical principles. We are going to look at different scriptures in the Bible, and these scriptures are going to be guiding us on how and what really we are learning tonight. And I believe by the time we shall finish, it will be very, very marvelous, and we shall learn together and get to understand what really is required. I want again to appreciate every person for the wonderful time and the time that we invested in to make sure that you tune in so that we can discuss about this. I would like also to encourage you that feel free to interact, and feel free also to join in, and we discuss about this, we talk, and you can give even your opinions. You can give what really you think that it might be very, very good. And you can suggest where possible, where it is required. And I'm telling you, it will be a very, very wonderful moment and time for us all as we are learning God's word. And I would like to thank you for the time that you invested in deciding to join us tonight so that we can learn together. And I hope and I also pray that may the network be on our side, favorable for us all. Let's pray as we are starting, as also you're calling for other people to come and join us. You can share the link on your status. You can share the link on your groups, the groups that you have, will be where you are. And you can encourage them to come and we learn together. This is God's Word, where we learn. And this is Heart of Worship, the National Ministry Africa, what we call Hoima Radio. It's a time to learn God's Word, time to participate and share by the grace of God. And if you were to be on the panel, or if you'd like to come and talk and give your opinion, depending on the topic that we have chosen tonight, feel free to tap on those calls where you see #1 call in, #2 call in, and so on. You can just choose what you want. And of course, you pass through very, very well. I'll be seeing you by the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for loving us. Thank you so much that you've given us the gift of life. You've not left us alone. We would like also to appreciate for the protection. We want to appreciate for the provision, guidance in every area of life, in every aspect of life. We thank you for our families, our brothers and sisters. We thank you for everyone that we have in life. And these people being beside us, they have brought a smile on our faces. And others have been a challenge to us. However, always we encourage us to learn or to have a lesson from every kind of thing that happens in life. We want to appreciate you. We want to glorify you. And thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name we prayed, and we love you so much. Amen and amen. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Right, that is a very wonderful message from the song. There is no shadow that God cannot light up. There is no mountain he cannot climb. And there is no wall that he cannot kick down just coming for you. This means that God can come for you at any point, regardless of any situation, regardless of any problem that is happening in life. He's there as an encouragement. He's there to lift you up, to hold you up, to have you all, and also to support you in one way or the other. I want to appreciate God once again as we are learning tonight. I'm going to read for you in the book of Genesis. Today we are looking at the book of Genesis. I told you we are going to be alternating, reading different scriptures depending on what we are bringing on board so that we can learn about this. And tonight we are looking at our true identity in Christ Jesus. So many people preaching about identities, and I know people bring out of having different pictures when it comes to identity. Identity, most of times, it would like to bring a picture of understanding who we are and in who, where we live. When people are looking at us, how do they describe us? When we interact with people, how do they understand of who we are and whom do we serve, whom do we follow, whom do we believe in? And this is the major point that all of us, we need to understand and we need to focus on. So as we are looking into the book of Genesis chapter 1, of course, we are looking at verse 27. I'm starting with this scripture and then I give you the bigger picture, or I give you the broader picture for you to understand what I would like you to understand. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" This is the beginning. This is the beginning of everything. God has created us in his own image. Let's not include us, but let us first look at the man he created. But I would like to remind you also that God, when he was creating a man represents the entire race of humanity on this planet Earth. We are all coming or rooted in Adam as the first man that God created from sand. When God created Adam from sand or soil, whatever you may call it, he breathed in him and the guy became life. When he became alive, He marked the beginning of human race on this planet Earth. On planet Earth. Therefore, at this point, when we want to know our identity, every identity must have a beginning. Every identity must have what we call the beginning part. What I'm sharing tonight is a life-transforming truth found in our identity in Christ Jesus. But the world has given us its view. In a world that often bombards us with messages about who we should be and what defines us, the Word of God offers the solid foundation for our true identity. The world is going to show you that this is who you are, depending on social media. Let me give you an example. Recently, I've been following social media on TikTok. I've been seeing a guy called Rama. I've been seeing even another guy called Kavata. They have their shows that always they host on TikTok. And they are against the homosexuals. They are speaking every kind of word and so on. Vulgar, of course, some most of times. But they have their agenda they are driving, that they are talking against the homosexuals. And when you listen to them, what they bring out, they have a point in what they are saying. The only challenge is the way how they phrase the point. Number two, they are trying to bring the idea that as a human race, this is our true identity. We are not supposed to be homosexuals. Our true identity, we are supposed to be a people that God created to glorify him, that God created so that we can glorify him in our nature. That it is a male and a female. that even production happens on only one principle, and this principle is that a man and a woman, they have to come together in union, and therefore they can also produce or reproduce. This is what they are trying to bring out. This is their point. But according to their point, when you come in the book of Genesis, this is brought out very well. That so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, nothing else. So if someone brings in another ideology, it means there is a perversion in the understanding and the message that is supposed to reach in among the people. Number two, we have a challenge of social media. Social media has given us all the information we want to pave a picture that this is who we are. Social media at this time has led us to think that this is the kind of humans that we are supposed to be. When you look at the world, the things that are happening in the world is feeding each and every human being for them to take it that this is the way how they are supposed to be. That a person has a right to be a gay, someone has the right to be a lesbian, someone has the right to be a homosexual, someone has the right to be a transgender. Where, when, and why did we reach on this point? It's because the church is busy reaching out the church. The church is busy sleeping, does not even care to tell people that, you know what, this is the true identity of who we are supposed to be, because God's word has everything that we need to know. God's word has everything that we need to know. Number one, that we need to understand from Genesis 1:27 that God created us in his image. This is the foundation for understanding our inherent worth and dignity. No matter our background, talents, or shortcomings, we carry the divine imprint of our Creator. Nothing else that we can focus on. Our identity, we need to first understand that we are created in God's image. And Adam is a representation of the human race, of who we are supposed to be. Eve is a representation of every woman on this earth. Adam is a representation of every man on this earth. What God believes in is a man and a woman, not a man and a man. Not a woman and a woman. The true identity, we are in God's image, and there is a purpose as to why he did this, for his glory. When we look at ourselves, how beautiful we are, how handsome we are reflecting. We are reflecting God's glory. He created us to worship him, known to do something else. Number two, we are redeemed and justified. When you read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, if you can open there if you can. Romans chapter 3, I'm already there. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. This is what the Bible says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Through his sacrifice, we are justified and made right with God, receiving a new identity as children of the Most High God. We are not just human beings in existence. Remember, in the first place, we had lost the relationship between us and God because Adam had sinned. Now listen to me very well. When Adam sinned, it was accountable for each and every human race in this world to be a sinner. Because the Bible says that through one man, everyone was accountable to be a sinner. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and therefore everything was corrupted. Now, to put everything right again, God had to give his only begotten son. And we see this in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16. It was his love that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This eternal life that is given to us, we can only receive this eternal life if at all we believe in Christ Jesus. So, the only requirement is your belief. Once you believe, you don't have a condemnation, because the Bible says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When you believe, now you get the new identity. This identity is for you to become a child of Most High God. John chapter 3 and John chapter 1 and verse 12. That whoever received him was given an opportunity or the authority to become a child of God. Identity comes in after believing, because at first you did not have access. At first you did not have an opportunity to be a child of God. But now there is an opportunity. You are a child of God because you believed in Christ Jesus. Now that is a true identity that we are talking about. There's no any other identity. Let the world not deceive you that for your identity you're supposed to be a gay, you're supposed to be a liar, you're supposed to be a murderer, supposed to be a thief, supposed to be a lesbian, supposed to be anything you think about. Your true identity is that you're a child of God. You are redeemed and justified. Justification means it is as if you are not a sinner, because there is someone who became a sinner in your place, in your position. Because you had no help, no one could help you in that situation. But Christ went on that cross, he gave up everything, and he entangled the sin, and he overcame the sin. And therefore, at this point, you were saved. Because Christ Jesus died for you on the cross. That is so amazing. It's so appreciable. And we would like to thank God for that. Number four. Adopted as children of God. I've been talking about that. In Christ, we are not just forgiven sinners. We are adopted in God's family. Our identity is that of beloved children, heirs to the promises of God. He does not stop there. We are adopted because we are lost. So this is so much important in life for us to realize and also to consider. Something more interesting as number 5 point, we are a new creation. Our identity is no longer defined by our past mistakes. This is where most of the Christians begin to doubt their salvation. This is where most of the Christians begin to doubt. You find always when they are crying, I've done this. I don't know if God is going to forgive me. I don't know whether I'm going to do that. No. Our identity is no longer defined by our past mistakes, our sins, or our sin, but by the transformative power of Christ. If you can understand that, it was Christ's love and grace. You did not even demand for it, because you could not even make it, even if you were given a chance. The penalty of sin is death. Therefore, human race was supposed to be destroyed because of the sin, because we had sinned through just one man, Adam. And the Bible is so much amazing. It says, also through one man, Jesus Christ, life of eternity was given to us. And now that we can access eternal life. These are the things that you may not find people teaching about. These are the things that you may not find people talking about. But this is what you need to know. You are a new creation. This is your identity. And I would like to encourage, your identity is not defined by your past mistakes. Every time and every moment we do mistakes. Also, we're still sinning. And yet we are Christians. Every time we fall into traps of the devil. Every time there are new things that always happening in our lives. We murder in our thoughts. We do a lot of obscene things. We cut out different kind of obscene things. Sometimes even we end up when we do things. You do know, have you ever done something and you feel like by the way you've gone beyond and you could not even help yourself? That is a kind of a Christian. That's a kind of a life that a Christian lives in. You see, being in a church, raising up your hands, singing, you cry at that very moment and you say, you know what, God, forgive me. For sure, I could not do that. For sure, God, I don't know whether you will forgive me. I'm telling you, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God knows your mistakes. God knows the problems you're passing through. God knows how you feel. God knows all the dilemmas that you're passing through. Even God knows every kind of failure that you face in life. One thing you need to realize and understand, whenever you find yourself that you fall into a mistake or you've sinned, you have to run to God. The only challenge that we have as human beings, when we do mistakes, we always run away from God. We run away. We run away because we fear to be chastened, we fear to be disciplined, we fear to pay for our sins that we have committed. But remember, sin was paid for. The mistakes that we are making in life, the Bible tells us that you come to me. You come and we talk. God is telling the people of Israel that when you turn to me, I will turn to you. If you have any challenge or any problem, please come on and we sit on the same table and we talk. You know, God even enjoys the conversation with his people. I don't know if we can be in a situation or in a position whereby we can converse with God. We can talk to God as if we are talking with our father. The way how you speak to your parents at home, the way how you speak to your father at home, maybe when you are having a conversation, oh, dad, I did this and this, please forgive me. You know, there is a conversation which is freely flowing. We call that a relationship. When you have a relationship with God, it's going to be very easy for you to open up to God. I would like to inform you also, yes, it is okay. God knows everything in your life, but God is waiting for you to be humble. Go before him. Open yourself to him. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear your voice. Nothing you can hide from God. Therefore, tell him everything. How you feel. How you feel pain, how you're hurted, how you feel good about that day and at that moment, for the things he has done in your life, the testimony that you have as you're thanking him, as you're glorifying him, as you're following him, as you're doing everything unto him. I'm telling you, it's really very amazing when you're talking to God as if you're talking to your father at home. He's our father. He's our everything. He's our guide. He's ready for us. He's ready even to listen to us. He feels that love that whenever he's with us, whenever we go to him, he's ready to listen to us. If we have such kind of a father, really we need to be appreciative. And really, we need to be very, very grateful to have such a father in life. I repeat this. Our identity is no longer defined by our past mistakes or sins, but by the transformative power of Christ's love and grace. That's why we live by grace. We overcome by grace. We make things happen in life by the grace of God. by the grace of God, because he loved us and he paid for that debt that we had. We sinned before God through one man, Adam, but through one man, Jesus Christ, salvation came to all the human race. And therefore, the criteria is one. Once you believe in him, you'll be saved. You inherit the kingdom of God. You have eternal life. You get eternal life then and then. This body can die. This physical death can happen. But your spirit will live forever. And lastly, on that same point, is that the Holy Spirit seals you. Nothing can snatch away. Nothing can snatch you away from God. He speaks that. And he says, what can really snatch you away from his love? Will it be Satan? Even Satan cannot. Diseases cannot. Problems cannot. Enemies cannot. Even demons cannot. Because you are saved in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, after understanding our identity in Christ Jesus, and we are very contented with who we are in Christ Jesus, not as the world gives the view, but as the Bible views us, or gives us the right view of our identity in Christ Jesus, we become the ambassadors of Christ to the world. As ambassadors of Christ, we are entrusted with a message of reconciliation and the responsibility to reflect his love, mercy, and truth. What really he did, it was love. What his death, it was love. Now we need to reflect that love to the rest of people. We need to show mercy to the rest of people. And we need to speak the truth to the rest of people. You find someone who is a homosexual, tell them this is not the true identity. Tell them the truth. But again, don't forget, be merciful and be loving as you're doing that. Do it in love. Do it in mercy and truth. Let them know. The truth is, God believes in only marriage. The truth is, God believes in a man and a woman, a female and male. That's what he blessed, and that's what he loves. The rest of things, no way. Remember, and I would like to encourage you, let us live out this truth daily. May it be a beacon of light in the darkness, guiding us and others to the transformative power of a life surrendered to Jesus Christ. We have to now to stop things of pretending and we become truthful. And this is a question I have for you. How would your daily choices, interactions, and decisions change if you truly live as if your identity were firmly rooted in being a beloved child of God and an ambassador of Christ? That's a question I can ask, I can leave with you. Ask it yourself. How would you live daily? How would your daily choices, interactions, and decisions change if you truly live as if your identity were firmly rooted in being a beloved child of God and an ambassador of Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, our true identity is in Christ. Our true identity is in Christ. Verse 24 told us, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That is the kind of daddy that we believe in. Teacher Wilson, you're most welcome. I would like to request you can unmute your microphone and you can give your view, your idea on really what our identity should be. Yes, Teacher Wilson.
All right. Thank you for this opportunity. I hope my network. A good day. It has been a long time since I last talked on this issue, but was tuned in, and I want to thank you for what you have been taking us through. It is much has been said, and I may not have a lot to add on what you've said about the identity. It is really something that we always struggle with, and sometimes we fail to realize as believers, because sometimes we do reflect on our lives, and we look at the mistakes that we have made, and we look at the struggles that we go through. Sometimes we fail to identify ourselves with Christ because we feel like we are not worthy to be identified with him, maybe because of the trials that we go through. They try to put us down, and we feel like we really don't belong to Christ. But as you have said, one thing we need to identify, there is, forgetting the title of the book that I was reading, it's about being born again. There is a statement that I liked, which they tried to get from John 3, I think verse 3, where Jesus tells Nicodemus that he needs to
The network is really disturbing him. I hope, but let's pray that he may make it. When he comes back, he shall start from there. Anyway, he has been giving his point. You're most welcome, everyone. I would like to appreciate Becky. Thank you so much for joining tonight. Willie Delic, thank you so much. Brixton, thank you so much. There's someone here, Maria Goretti, Teacher Wilson, network is still disturbing you, but we pray that you come back. There is Nana Osei Boateng. Yeah, thank you so much also for joining in. There is someone here, is used an ID to enter, so I may not be able to read the entire name. Anyway, that is so great and wonderful. Thank you so much for the wonderful moment we've been together, and we've been discussing about our true identity. There are so many topics that are coming in, and I would like to encourage you that you continue to encourage your friends, your fellow people, as you share the show and as you tell them that really we can learn together God's word. Very soon, we are going to be opening up what we call Google Meet teachings, and those ones, the PowerPoints will be projected, the teachings will be projected, and someone will be able to see on his device wherever he is, whatever that we shall be teaching. We are trying to do all the things is to sensitize and open up people's minds and people's understanding that really this is what God's word says, regardless of what other people say, but we follow what really God's word say. Today, as we have understood the identity in Christ Jesus, Let not the world divert you or pervert you to give you a different theology, a different ideology, that this is how a human being must be. No, the Bible has a standard, and the Bible does not change. And people have tried so many times to twist the scriptures, but the Bible remains very straight on what it really says. And I appreciate God for that. And of course, I had some people complaining about people's preachings, and someone was like, if this person can preach like that, if this person can fall, I would like to encourage you, you should not manage, or you should not, you should not walk in salvation depending on someone's life. Our salvation is not dependent on what others are doing. Our salvation is dependent on what the Bible tells us to do, what God's word explains, or what the God's word says. That is the major point. You're going to be so much disappointed if you start to run your salvation depending on what other people are doing, behave, because you hear this person has done this, because you have so many role models in this world or in this country, Uganda. When you look at some people, at this one is accused about this, you hear some people accused of homosexuality, others are accused of what, others are accused of the other. There are so many things that is happening in life, but I would like to encourage you and tell you that's not the biggest matter. The biggest thing is, how do you run your life with God? So God needs you as a person, not the other person. God is not going to ask you for someone else's life. He's going to ask you, how did you walk, how did you run, and how did you manage salvation as a safety? All right, at this point, I would like to give an opportunity to Becky to give your opinion. Please feel free, don't fear, give your opinion. What have you learned? What would you like to supplement? Would you like to add on anything, something like that? This is a platform for everyone. Everyone is given an opportunity to participate and to give opinions or suggestions. Yes, Becky, you can unmute your microphone and then you talk to us. How are you today, Becky? How I wish I can hear you, but I can't hear you. We cannot hear you, by the way. Maybe you're using earphones, maybe you have to remove earphones, or you're not using earphones when you have to connect earphones so that we can hear you. Can you hear us? Can you hear me? I can't hear you. I don't hear anything. Hello, Becky. Can you try to change? Maybe you first remove your earphones if you're using earphones, or maybe you increase your volume. That will help us. All right, I think she's still connecting, and then we shall get back to that. Let's come back. Right. 2 Corinthians reminds us in chapter 5 and verse 20 that now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I've been explaining this, I've been talking about this, that we are ambassadors of God, and these ambassadors of God, we are entrusted with the message of God of reconciliation and the responsibility to reflect his love, mercy, and truth. So I pray that you continue to read those scriptures and you look through them, and I hope they'll be really very, very, very important for you. And this, when you read in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. All these things, all these scriptures, they are encouraging us. Even if we are to bear fruits, even if we are to serve God, even if we are to preach the gospel, even if we are to be ambassadors, even if we are to be the people that reach information or the message of Christ of salvation to the rest of the world, we need to be doing everything for the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight it has been a very, very awesome night for us to be together and learning together. We have learned about the identity in Christ Jesus. Therefore, as we are winding up, I would like us to pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you so much for the wonderful word that you've taught us. And we thank you that you've led us to understand that we should live out this truth daily. And we should know that it be, and let it be a beacon of light in the darkness, guiding us. And everything because of this transformative power as we are surrendering to you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to live a true identity as you describe it in your word. Not as we wish, not as we want, not as we will, but according to what really you will. There are so many mistakes we've made and we feel discouraged. Sometimes even we fear to be in your presence just because of the mistakes that we've made. But you have encouraged us that is the more you need us to be in your presence to come so that we can make things right. Forgive us wherever we've forgotten. Forgive us for whatever we've done, all these mistakes, and we have failed to come to the reconciliation. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the work you did at the cross dying for us. Thank you for the love, for the care. Thank you for everything that you've done, so that we can be this kind of people that are glorifying you. And we thank you, Lord, for the protection. So many families are suffering. So many people are suffering in one way or the other. But we pray that may you help them out. May you encourage them where they feel discouraged. May you uplift their faith. May you, King of Glory, help them to know that you are the living Father. Nothing else can be done apart from you. Nothing else can be done unless when you have allowed it to happen. May you guide us. May you lead us. May you be with us. May you lead us in everything that we are doing as humans. I pray for those who are sick. I pray for those who have faced miscarriages. I pray for those who have been discouraged and disappointed one way or the other. I pray for those families that are struggling in one way or the other in various aspects of life. May you, King of Glory, help them and lead them. I pray for those who are sick. I pray for those who are on beds in hospitals. The people who are on the streets, they have nowhere to eat. They don't have what to drink. They are thirsty and they are hungry. May you plan for them, Lord. Think about them tonight. And let there be a good Samaritan passing by to that street and help them. And give them something to eat. May you, Lord, those who are looking for provision, that may you provide for them. There are those, Lord, who are looking for survival in one way or the other. So many needs in lives of people, but it's you, Lord, who always satisfies and fulfills for whatever need that we have. And again, Lord, we'd like to present our life in you. Help us to be content and to know that our identity is rooted in you. Let us know that you are there for us in everything, no matter what. And let us know that, King of Glory, the mistakes that we have done is not the big point. That our identity is no longer defined by our past mistakes and sins, but by the transformative power of the Christ's love and the grace. May your grace abound in us every day and every time. You lead us and you guide us. We thank you so much and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining tonight. May God bless you so much. I would like to thank God for your time that you invested in to be live so that we can learn together. I would like to encourage you, please, let's meet next Wednesday, the same time, 9 p.m., and encourage the rest of people to join us by the grace of God. And I'll be waiting for you. Amen and amen. Good night.